because I'm in Melbourne for a few days, and that's what you do in Melbourne. Yeah,
it's true. A daily talk show, everyone. Ryan John's with us.
Our second official guest.
And can I just add that I was walking past your studio like 10 minutes ago, and now here we are.
I said, come say hi. And then I called Josh, who was coming here to do a podcast, and I said, let's get Ryan on the podcast. And then Ryan walked in and said, we're doing a podcast. And now we're here.
And I just started recording mid crispy egg chat, because I thought that was... I normally ask the question, what did you have for breakfast, as a way of...
A sound check. Now I actually feel embarrassed that that's on the record.
No, but I just...
I sound like a wanker eating my crispy eggs.
No, I just got the end of it, because I was like, this is...
You always get the end of it. It's fucking great. I'm just pulling this thing up. I've seen Ryan's put his keys in his wallet, and then he had a Channel 7 pass. Where have you been?
I've come from Channel 7.
What's going on Channel 7? Sorry.
I did the daily edition, the 2 o'clock. It's like, you know how it goes from sunrise into like the after sunrise morning show, but still sort of sunrise,
yeah,
but it's not.
Yeah.
And then they have another afternoon one.
You're doing all the dailies today. You've gone from...
This is probably your biggest appearance though, in terms of audience base. We're probably getting what Channel 7's daily edition's getting, right?
Yeah, they said, absolutely. Do you want to do an extra segment on the daily edition on 7? And I said, no, I got to do the daily talk show on Apple Podcasts.
That's it. So you've come from WA. What's your deal? For people who don't know, who is Ryan John? What's the spiel?
Is this like a Melbourne podcast, or
are we
just
everywhere?
I don't know.
We've got someone who listens in Japan. Like, right. Literally have downloaded 260 downloads in Japan. So... Yeah. Speak directly to your Japanese audience if you've got one.
Toilet ni itemo edeska.
Oh, he fucking knows some Japanese.
That means, well, excuse me, ma'am, can I please go to the toilet? Because I did Japanese in primary school, and if I said that, she'd be like, oh, very good, and then I'd just leave and never come back.
There you go.
Do that most classes.
So, yes, it is global. Big in the east coast of the US as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some Facebook followers there. That's fine.
Okay, great.
But I live in Perth, back in Melbourne to see mum and dad. And because I got a week off work, so going to the AFL, eating crispy eggs, doing all the things you do when you're in Melbourne.
Yeah. He's being, you know, modest in his explanation of what he does. Can I do it for him?
Yeah, do it.
So,
the pump up.
How long have we known each other, Ryan?
Ooh, 4 years, maybe.
So we did breakfast radio, not together, but on the same network when we were whippersnappers, and I was in Shepparton. You were
Bunbury, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
before
Toowoomba.
That you were in Toowoomba,
yeah.
So we had to travel hours away, and Ryan's done them all, and now he's on the what is it?
Well, they call it Metro. You're officially in the Metro market.
You guys have worked in radio. I think, like, I have to explain to, like, non-radio people, I say, like, there's an invisible line between Metro and not Metro,
mm-hmm.
and going from Canberra's like one of the biggest... not metros to Perth, which is a smaller metro, but you still cross that invisible line, which for a lot of regional folks like us, it's like, ooh, the Holy Grail.
Is Newcastle, is that still regional? Is that Canberra's regional? Okay,
Newcastle,
sure.
Gold Coast, Canberra, sort of the bigger non-metros, if you will.
Yeah. And so Ryan's made it. He's now in Perth.
He's a full metrosexual. He's the official title.
He's got full metro.
He's got
full
some
metro.
Fucking great hair and a good beard.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's as metro as it gets.
But then I helped you out for a video that you were making, which was... I feel like you've probably just been banging on about this on the Daily Edition at the Channel 7. So... tell us quickly what the video is that we made and that went fucking bananas, and it had nothing to do with me. I pressed record.
Oh, you made it. No, you edited it. Take all the credit you want. So basically, where we're sitting right now.
Be careful, he will.
Where we're sitting right now, I came in here, it would have been about Christmas a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we went and had a coffee, and I said, oh, Tom, I think I want to do this video about I've never met my birth mother, and a bit of a message to my birth mother. What do you think? And Tom said, let me do this. It'll be a great idea. And let me take all the credit. And I said, deal.
So you haven't seen a fucking cent.
Yeah. You got paid for that, didn't you?
Yes, actually I did.
Yeah. Probably not as much as I have from it, but still a pretty good deal.
Yeah. I mean, your money.
But we made this Mother's Day video sort of saying, I've never met my biological mum. This is why Mother's Day is a bit weird for me. We filmed it. The video that went nuts was like a 3-minute video, but probably only took us, 7-10 minutes to shoot?
Yeah.
We kind of just did it. And then we interviewed who I call mum, but it's my adoptive mum, and it just became a whole story. I just thought friends might have thought it's interesting, but I didn't realize that most people you meet know someone who's adopted. Oh, yeah, yeah. My sister, or oh, yeah, my cousin, or yeah, my girlfriend, her sister.
Or you would joke about it to your brother. That is, yeah. Is that, do you find that offensive? Like, my I think my brother was like, you're adopted. And yeah. is that offensive?
No, it's not. I'm not offended. Because
I couldn't imagine
that,
you being
offended. Because I say the opposite. So when my mum does something stupid, I go, you can tell I'm adopted because you're an idiot.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I guess some people would probably find it offensive. But that got how many views on Facebook alone?
Facebook, about between 400 and 500 million.
What?
Yeah.
Fuck, yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah, because by the time...
Where the fuck's my money?
Wait, 400 to 500 million?
Yes.
Have you said that right? 400 to 500 million?
I know, that's what I said. Yeah. What?
So once the uni lads and the lad Bibles of the world get a hold of it, yeah, like, see you later, it's gone. And the difference between YouTube and Facebook is...
Yeah.
Because everyone goes, oh, you must have made heaps. And I was like, $0, 0 cents. Yeah, because yeah, Facebook, yeah, yeah, you get nothing. If it had 400 million on YouTube, see you guys later. Yeah. We're going to the Bahamas.
Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
So did you at least find your mum after all of it?
No.
So what was the... So tell everyone, what was the... What was,
let's
what happened,
jump to the end. That made it sound really like fucking depressing. But well, something came of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so most of the things that happened in the comments were people saying... You got to do an ancestry DNA test. Yeah. Everyone's like, you got to try this thing. And I was like, oh, you see the ads, but I don't really know what it was.
Yeah.
And so I did it and I thought, being adopted, you have like a blank canvas. So even if I find out, oh, you're 60% Irish and I've got a bit of a ginger beard. So I'm like, maybe I'm Scottish or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I thought even that might be interesting.
Yeah.
So I did it and I find out, yep, 60% Irish, bit of Scottish, bit of Italian and whatever. How good is this?
Did you spit into a tube?
Was yep, it, yeah, spit into a little thing and you send it off to Ancestry. And then this lady who runs this TV show, it's like, I think it's called like Finding My Roots. You know, like it's like, oh, today we're hanging out with this rapper and we're going to find out that his great grandpa was in Africa and some bullshit. Oh,
it's not, we're hanging out with this rapper and we're going to find out how many roots he's had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it is
Tommy's new show.
Yeah, it is indirectly related. Yeah. But then, so she messages.
First we're going to Shepherd. Yeah.
Finding My Roots, Shepparton edition. And then the lady goes, oh, if you let me log into your Ancestry page, I'll just, you know, I'll snoop around, see if I can't find something. And then she sends me a text 2 months later going, oh yeah, I found your biological dad.
Crazy.
Just like that. And I was like, oh my God, can I call you back? And she's like, it's actually a bit late in America. How about next Tuesday? And I was like, are you joking? How can I not call you? And so the next day I called and she explained, yep, found him in London. He was an American guy, backpacking. Here's his address. If you want to write him a letter, you know, you do what you got to do.
So what was her process of finding that info?
So she logs in and finds like a fourth or fifth cousin, aunt, something, like a really distant relative. And then she just builds out the family trees. And it turns out my great-grandma was one of 11 siblings.
Wow.
And the one who's my great-grandma is the youngest. So she had to go like, build family tree, down, and nope. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, wow.
Nah, 11 times.
So did she have to ask them? Would she reach out to people?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
She just said that it took months. It was a genuine needle in a haystack. She just knows that she finally found it through and there it was.
Because I've got I did the 23andMe one. Like years and years ago,
yeah,
I think it was like 2011, and I've got 100, I think, unread messages of like relatives.
That could be your brothers and sisters, bro.
Yeah, it
imagine
could be.
That. Well, your mum's one of how many?
11 kids.
So your family would go far.
Yeah,
one of 11.
Yeah,
are you is my it? Uncle?
Yeah, yeah. Could be. Could be.
So
this is why we brought you here.
So you found your dad.
Yep.
And I remember you calling me this.
You're like the second or third person I called.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
I did then offer to fly to London and then rescind that offer.
What? No, but I think because you were like, okay, well, if I've documented it this far, I may as well document it. And I said to you, just do it in the way that feels the best to you. Because you've never wanted to make this feel like you're trying to fucking milk it for what it's got, right?
Yeah.
Because it's actually something that's pretty close to you. It's pretty serious for you.
However,
right?
If you can leverage it, why not?
Yeah, and get 500 million.
Exactly.
Yeah. 500 million, yes.
Well, without pissing in your pocket, Tommy, I did was like, oh, Tommy knows how to tell a story.
Mm.
And you were one of the guys that said, oh, as soon as you let a TV company, Channel 10, 60 Minutes, give you some money, it's their story now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can say, oh, can you edit it this way? And they might or they might not. Or and it just looks like any other story on the show. Whereas you go, if you just film as much as you can, at least you've got the choice to tell your own story your way and you still own your story.
Yeah.
And I just, it felt weird. Like I took some snippets on my phone, but it felt weird to turn up on someone's doorstep with a film crew.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, oh, this
especially because Tommy would have brought an O-bike for the shoot as well.
We have O-bikes in London? Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, we'll do this. Yeah, and with his O-bike t-shirt saying, buy here. But this is really lame because Matthew McConaughey has made a lot of terrible movies, but I kept having flashbacks to like Ed TV. You know, he's like that original. Nah.
I don't watch movies, so I can't relate, but please tell us
you
more.
You don't watch movies?
No.
He actually doesn't.
I know about when you said Ed TV.
Can we swap the topic of this
TV?
And just focus on that?
We could.
Oh, mate, I bring up every time. He hasn't seen The Matrix. How the fuck have you never seen The Matrix?
The Matrix's pretty awful though.
If you haven't seen The Matrix, you're fucked.
Anyway, let's...
So Ed TV is Matt McConaughey. He's the main character in this movie and it's sort of a movie about this guy who... Essentially, it's like the first reality show.
Yeah.
Someone goes, oh, why don't we just film this guy 24/7 and see what happens? And as...
Was it based on... Because there's that... Is it Josh 2.0? There's that dude in New York who set up heaps of cameras, I think, in the early 2000s, which anyway... No, you clearly don't.
No,
you
no guys idea.
Aren't, I aren't think connecting. I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, there was a documentary. I think it was called Josh 2.0, where literally the guy it was actually pre Big Brother, so it would have
do
been.
Do you even
late
hang on?
90s.
Do you know who Matthew McConaughey is?
He's the one without the shirt.
Yeah,
he's always got.
Yeah,
the,
no, that's but a he's pretty a, accurate he's, description.
He's now like a seasoned actor. He's a fucking amazing
Oscar winner.
Actor. Yeah,
actor.
Oscar winner.
Yeah, Brie was a fan. You felt like you were. In that film.
Well, no, I saw the bad side of that film and I just went, because it ends with all these cameras following him around and it's a personal moment and I just went, that's not for me, thanks. I think I don't really want that because like you were saying, Tommy, like it is a great story and I want to tell it to people because I think it's a great story to share, but also it's not, I don't want the hype and the people and the, I don't know, when someone's watching you meet a family member the first time, you kind of like, just very conscious that there'd be cameras there. I'd rather just be in that moment, I guess.
So what was that experience like? So you went to London?
Went to London, flew over and we spoke on the phone once for about an hour and there's lots of emails back and forth. Mm. And it was when we met in person, it was actually very underwhelming. And I mean that in the nicest way possible because it would have just looked like two guys catching up for a coffee. Like if you had seen us in the cafe, it'd be like, oh yeah, just two other guys. Because we just hugged and it was more of a, how crazy is this?
Yeah.
Because...
What was his vibe on the whole thing?
Well, he had no idea I existed. So he was just like, and it was seriously like a celebration, like how cool is this? And I think it'd be different if I met my birth mother because, you know, she had been in her stomach for 9 months
a bit more
and
pain.
She had to make the decisions and she wouldn't have known this whole time. So it'd be a bit more emotional. And I feel like she did a lot for me. Like she gave me this great life where he literally was just traveling and hooked up with a chick one time. So it was just
crazy.
It was just
Tommy looks slightly angry. He's like, fuck, really? That's how it happens.
Yeah.
So hang on, you dropped him a letter or something?
I wrote him a letter because he doesn't have Facebook.
Yeah.
And I just thought I found, so his wife and his kids have got Facebook and I just thought, oh, I can't go through the kids or the wife because he could have already been married.
Mm.
Like I don't know. Sure. I don't know the story.
So you were sort of giving your biological dad a bit of fucking love, being like, bro, I've got your back. I'm going to go around direct. Don't want to fucking upset the missus.
Well, yeah, sort of. But it's because you don't know the story and you don't want to like ruin his family. Like so I kind of was just very like he had to sign for it in the registered post and whatever. It turns out that registered post in London means nothing because he wasn't home and they just gave it to the neighbor.
Really?
And then the neighbor lost it. And then he went over like a week later and they're like, oh, was there a letter for me? And they're like, oh, yeah, I can't really remember. And then I had a few beers the next day and one of the kids was like, oh, what's this? And that was the letter. So it almost didn't arrive.
Fuck. I mean, there's the video.
Yeah.
The letter on the counter, just so much action going around it. No one's touching it.
But writing the letter was the hardest bit because, well, Josh, how would you start that letter? What do you write? What's your opening line?
Yeah, good question.
Hey, guys. Hey. It's a daily talk show.
No, you would want to give it, like, it's this desire to give as much context as possible, isn't it? It's like, so how did you, what was the opening line?
Oh, I can't remember.
Well, hang on. Now I'm going to be selfish and say what I think. Like, maybe, it depends. Do you go for dramatic effect?
Well, that was the thing. I was like, I don't want to come on too strong, but I also want to give enough context so it doesn't look scammy.
What about like,
people get letters like this, right? True. Going, oh, I'm your long lost son. I work in a Nigerian bank.
Yeah, I keep getting them and it's fucking annoying. Yeah. Stop trying to scam me.
Yeah.
Hi, so I think I would write, like, say if his name was Simon.
Yep.
I'd say, hi, Simon. I think that you are my dad. Full stop.
Too strong, bro. Too strong.
That's fucking strong.
Yeah, so I think it was like, my name is Ryan. I was born on the 28th of June, 1987.
Oh, I know from then. That's fucked. Anyone sends that and says that.
And I said, oh, and
this
I.
This is happening.
I think we may have a connection or we might be related.
Oh, that's soft. And I that said, was soft. Well,
I didn't say the word father the whole thing. I said, my birth mother's name is Julie. And I believe that you guys met each other a few times when you were traveling through Melbourne. And he said it was the birth date where he literally calculated, you know, that minus 9 months equals about here. Yep, I was in that window. Oh, yeah, no, I remember that girl. Maybe this is real.
Yeah, yeah, you played it a lot cooler than I did.
I know.
But it took me a week to think about it because originally, in my mind, my whole life, when I kind of thought what this might be like, I always just assumed I would just knock on the door and say hi.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, you can't do that. Yeah, that's terrifying. Yeah, yeah.
No, that was a good approach. You probably took the best approach.
Yeah, well, it's like the opposite of Star Wars. When, you know, in Star Wars,
I haven't seen Star Wars. Sorry.
Any say, movie related.
Okay. So in Star Wars, there's a also spoiler alert. There's a famous scene where they go,
I am your father.
I am your father.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen Star Wars either, but I still know that line.
Yeah, sure.
But I thought, do I do the opposite? And it's like, hello, you are my father.
I feel like
novelty feel like Star Wars card that has a voice recording.
Yeah,
that respect. You could have done a little video to him, but maybe too strong. I like the idea.
He didn't have Facebook, so I sent a physical piece of paper to a home address.
Did you send him a photo of yourself?
No, but I said, "Here's my like Facebook account, and here's a video of."
It's so, blown up. It's blown up. Exactly. The story's big.
Okay, here's one of the creepy things. There's so many. He has two sons, thus my half-brothers.
Yeah.
And one of the half-brothers' girlfriends, they like live together, they've been together for years. She was already a fan of the Facebook page and had watched watched the videos, not knowing. And that's the brother that looks really like me. So she was watching this guy going, oh, what a great story in Australia. And like, whatever. Not knowing that the person lives with, that's their brother.
Fuck. What was going through your mind throughout this whole, like, actually your whole life?
Yep.
What do you think about, like, what? How much is it on your mind? How much is it part of your identity?
Well, it definitely wasn't part of, like, identity until, like, now I go and talk on podcasts and TV about it. Sure. So until recently. But it's just on Mother's Day, birthday, Christmas, it's always like, oh, you know, I wonder what they're doing. And, you know, would they be having the same, would they... Like surely Mother's Day would come around and the birth mum would be like, oh, like I wonder what he's up to and how he is. So it's always just sort of there. But the main thing for me was that probably 6 months before I spoke with Tommy and said, oh, we might make this video, I was sick and like it was nothing bad. But there's only so many times a doctor goes, oh, do you have any history of this? And you go, I don't know.
Yeah.
Before you start getting a bit curious. And then like again, you get asked that question over and over and they go, usually it's like, it'll be totally fine. As long as you don't have this in your family. Yeah, you don't have that, do you? And you go, fuck, maybe I do.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
And what did... So
you get curious, yeah.
Where did it end with your mum or where is it at the moment, like your biological...
Well, this could be a scoop for the Daily Talk Show. Well,
this is big. We'll get this one out today. Yeah. Go on.
All right. So what time are we recording this? What's like 3 o'clock?
It's 3:33 p.m.
In Melbourne. Tomorrow morning at 8:15, I'm going in to Birth, Deaths and Marriages Victoria because they're all state-based departments and I was born in Victoria and I'm getting my original birth certificate which will have my birth mum's full name which I don't know at this stage.
Wait, so your biological dad didn't even know her full name?
No.
Okay.
he had a fun night.
They were together just that one time and here I am.
Yeah.
And he said that
he's
was
like, I just called her Big Titty Karen. Like it's...
Yeah, he knew her first name and because she was like a manager at some place and he was just doing casual cash jobs as you do when you're traveling or whatever. But yeah, like even when he knew the first name, he was kind of sheepish, but I was like, hey, I know Tommy Jacket. I know what it's like for guys to travel and get it done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How's this become a thing about me?
Yeah.
It's good fun.
Painting me as a sex beast.
But you'd ask yourself in Shepherd in that question. Yeah, so he just knew her first name and just remembered her. Again, it wouldn't be any different to other people. Like, think of someone you met 30 years ago when you were traveling. You're like, oh, I remember that guy. Sure. He was nice.
Yeah.
But so tomorrow, get a first name, last name, address, and all the paperwork and stuff.
It'll say the hospital. Do you know what hospital you were born at?
It just says on my passport, This is real weird. So you know how it's like which city you're from?
Yeah.
It says Moonee Ponds.
Yeah, so you so mine's is Clayton because it says where were you born?
Yeah.
And Clayton was
and
where
so mine's Moonee Ponds, and so that's literally all I know because that's on my passport.
Oh wait, so she's from Melbourne.
Yeah, that's why I have to come to Melbourne to go to births, deaths and marriages.
Isn't that fucking crazy that this this story's unraveled? But it's not even close to being anywhere near.
I was born in Mount Waverley, guys, before you fucking asked. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Not to make it about me, but it was Mount Waverley.
What are you going to... Oh, hang on. One thing. Tell Josh about the shoulder. The fucking... Your dad.
So this is nuts.
Okay.
So he was... I always knew because I had this letter from like the social worker, council worker, whatever. And it's like, here's some facts about your mum. She was this tall. She had blue eyes. And here's what she remembers about your dad. And it said he was a lacrosse player. So I always grew up knowing he was like an athlete or something. And I said to him when I met, why did you stop playing lacrosse? And he said, oh, for some reason, I just always had this dodgy left shoulder and I had to get surgeries. And he was sort of at that stage where he's like, I'm not that good. I'm getting surgeries. Like, I think I'm done here. And he shows me this scar on his left shoulder. And then I just pissed myself laughing in the cafe because it's exactly the same as the scar I've got on my left shoulder.
Exactly right the same. Here.
Same
That's
scar,
crazy.
Same
so that
surgery.
Would be like genetic... Like or well, just or
yeah, shit ass shoulders.
So usually, yeah, shitty shoulders. But usually, like when someone plays sport and dislocates their shoulder, like a football player, they get crunched in a tackle and it's like impact, and it's like, well, of course you're going to break your shoulder.
Yeah,
but for me, and the same as him, as it turns out, it was just always a bit loose. Yeah. I played volleyball, a non-contact sport, so you just go up to hit, and one day it just you'd follow through and it kind of falls out, and it's one of those ones where you go to hospital and it's like, so what happened? And you're like, I just swung.
How many
the ball
times have you dislocate your shoulder?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you.
Fuck, I remember at the basketball stadium.
It's gross.
You'd just say,
yeah, so much
it's
pain.
Like, and then it's just like someone's on the ground. It's like, oh, what's... It was like the biggest fear.
The girl in the office next door, all of a sudden, knee, just was sitting down to her desk. And
gross.
Fuck. Ambulance had to come.
Gross. Is she adopted?
Take her down. No, she...
All adopters are a bit...
It's actually your mum.
So, so I've had 3 reconstructions and thus the scars on it. And I stopped playing volleyball for that reason.
Imagine if the Daily Show on whatever, it's Channel 7, were making these gags that we are. They would not get away with it, do you reckon? They're too soft.
Would they get away with it publicly or like with themselves?
No, with you.
They wouldn't have the balls to do it. Nah. And they should. And that's why TV is dying.
Yeah, and the Daily Show is taking over.
Yep.
Daily Talk Show. Thank you.
Daily Talk Show.com.
We've got the .com, which is great.
Okay, that is a nice touch.
But so I just want to go back to the... how does your adopted parents, how did they end up with you?
So my mum and dad got married when mum was 21.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to have kids, unsuccessful, IVF twice, unsuccessful, which both financially and physically is like a big toll on people, I hear. I didn't know much about this until you probably found out when I did, Tommy, when we did the interview with mum. And so she was 33 when she got me. So you kind of go, oh, okay, but then you think about it. Shit, that's 12 years trying to have kids. And mum's like, I just wanted to be a mum.
Yeah.
And so there was nothing wrong with her or dad per se. They just didn't match or just wasn't happening. There was no real reason. And then mum submits the papers. I think she said it was about 2 years. She just didn't hear back. And then the phone rings and they're like, yep, he's 10 weeks old. Pick him up tonight, this afternoon.
Fuck.
Yeah. So mum has to call up work and go, oh, can I have maternity leave? And they go, oh, sure. When are you expecting? And she goes, oh, like as of today. Yeah. And they're like, but you're not pregnant. Okay, sure. And so just takes a year's maternity leave. Just not pregnant. Just see you later.
Fuck. So it's a good way to get a bit of mat leave if you want to go on a trip.
But yeah, better money back then as well.
Yeah.
So I think they came to see me that afternoon at the
So you're in a hospital at this point, or what?
It's like an orphanage or a foster home type situation. And so I was 10 weeks old. They came over, met me, and then it was like, go home, get the house ready. I'm coming over tomorrow morning. Obviously, I didn't say I'm coming over.
No, he came out talking.
Yeah, I'll be getting an Uber. And they go, what's that? And they go, you'll understand in 25 years.
I have ice cream ready.
Yeah. This kid from fucking Moonee Ponds.
Yeah, he's got attitude. Yeah.
And has your parents' view on IVF, have you spoken to them about it? And now that they've obviously gone down this path, would they have any recommendations for people who are struggling to have kids?
Not really. I haven't really asked that question. I guess it's like a personal thing. And I think adoption is, I know when you say last resort, it sounds like it's a bad thing, but obviously you try to have conceive naturally first.
So I wonder why that, like, because IVF I find, like, interesting, right? It costs, like, a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
There's, like, a bunch of kids who, for whatever circumstances, don't have the support network that they would need.
Mm.
Like, Bree and I have spoken about if we were to have kids, we would adopt just because it seems like there's enough fucking kids in the world, yeah, but not enough parents.
Yeah. Well, when I was up for adoption in the state of Victoria, and it's a whole other talk topic of, like, you know, if kids from countries that are overpopulated and whatnot. But in Victoria, there were 2,000 couples who couldn't have kids and were wanting to adopt. So 2,000 mm-hmm. couples going, please, can we have a child? And there was myself and 15 other babies that year. So 16 kids for 2,000 couples.
Fact. So it's over. So there's...
I have no idea what it is now, but that was in 87.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, you hear... You've guys seen Lion? Well, obviously you haven't.
Cause I actually have seen Lion. Lion?
The movie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The
one where
he's the movie. Head. M-O-V-I-E? Movie?
I have seen it.
Yeah.
M-O-V-I-E. I was...
Yeah, it was an Australian film. And basically this guy gets lost in India and they send him to Tasmania and he grows up, you know, and he's like an Indian child. So that's like a whole new ballgame of do you take a child out of their culture or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit different for me because I was...
From out of Moonee Ponds to...
Moonee Ponds to Elf. I'm not the biggest of cultural changes you wouldn't have thought.
Yeah. And what were... What do you remember when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Were there certain things that you would think where it's like, oh, I better be behaved because I'm fucking the adopter? Like, are there any things that you think about as an adopted kid, which I guess you naturally would anyway, but can you, like, identify them now?
Yeah. So I didn't really realize this was a thing probably until recently that I was always thought that my birth mum had given up so much for me. She sacrificed her body. Like, it's probably understandable that they're like, they feel guilt and there's like all this bad stuff they go through. And I always just thought the least I can do is like live a great life. So she thinks, oh, it was worth the trouble.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's like, it turns out a lot of adoptees are like overachievers because they feel like they got something to prove.
Fucking Steve Jobs.
Was he adopted?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to fuck it up if I say shit. But no, he was adopted. Yeah.
So not that they would think this, but is it... And I'm asking, I don't know. Mm. I haven't really talked about this a lot, but is it understandable to think if someone did so much to give me a life, that would they be disappointed and go, I sacrificed all this and you turned out to be a dropkick?
Yeah, well, I think that there's probably a heightened... Like having parents... Parents do that.
Yep.
You've essentially like doubled the amount of parents you have.
Yeah.
So you've got like you feel double the responsibility because you fucking got the initial thing, and then you've got like people who have then said it's almost like investors. You've got your initial investors, and then someone fucking invests in you again, and you're feeling the pressure.
Yeah. Yep.
But super. And so, how much of it was it communicated when you were a kid? Like, was it kept under wraps in school? Did you feel comfortable talking about it?
Yeah, I always felt comfortable talking about it, but it just doesn't come up in conversation that much. Mm. But you do, like, looking back, notice that no one ever says... So one of my best mates, Dave, great volleyball player. His brother, Mike, is a great volleyball player. And you see them play and you go, oh, the Parsons boys, they've both got that right arm, you know? Yeah. And they look like their dad who sort of plays the same way when he plays socially and stuff. And there's all like, oh, like father, like son, or, oh, geez, those Parsons boys, they love that right arm down the line shot or whatever. But you just never have that.
Getting great visuals here, by the way, the Parsons boys.
Yeah, the Parsons boys are absolute rigs. get them in here. but you just don't have any of that. And then, you know, when you see a baby and you come around and you go, oh, it's got mum's eyes and it's got dad's nose and like mum's white, dad's white, I'm a white guy, but even mum says, oh, you just didn't look like a product of mine.
Yeah.
And so people wouldn't come up in the street and say that sort of stuff, which is not offensive, but it just over the years, you just notice that you don't have that chat.
From recording those interviews with you and your mum, your adopted mum.
Yep.
What, like, I think we're like Josh's questions, I all thought those before. And then I was surprised that you... It's not like a movie for you where you're like, what? I'm adopted?
Yeah.
Like, I remember you telling, it was like, you just work it out and then it's your life. And so
you don't know any different. Yeah. It's like if I said to you, so Josh, when you decide to breathe in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh, I've never even thought that I wake up and breathe. It just happens because that's what it is.
Because I was convinced that you would have been like.
There's my mum calling now. Should I put it on loudspeaker?
Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
Okay, for it.
Hey, mum, you're live on a podcast.
What?
Yes, the Daily Talk Show.
You're on the Daily Talk Show, big in Japan.
Me?
I've got you on loudspeaker.
I'm not really.
You are. Is there anything you'd like to say to the people of Shepparton in Japan?
Shepparton in Japan?
Our two biggest audiences.
I just need to know where you are, because I think I need the car just to deliver some flowers to someone.
Okay. Well, I'll actually ask the guys. Guys, how long are you going to be here for?
Another 10 minutes.
Another 10 minutes, and then I'll drive home from Collingwood to Eltham.
Okay. No drama.
Just on the eastern.
That's all right. I'll just see what time they close. I'll see you at home you don't have to hurry. I thought you might have been around.
If you were to sum up adoption in three words, what would you say?
Adoption in three words.
Oh, used them up. See you, Mum.
Good gear. Do you use her much on the show?
Sometimes, because she is a bit of a rat bag and funny and loves to sort of throw me under the bus, which I guess in commercial radio is just A1 material.
Yeah.
She's a legend. She's great.
Yeah, she's really lovely. And she was on the project talking about the adoption story the other day. And I actually hate it because everyone watches the stories about me and Mum and go, oh, gee, how great's your mum? And I'm like, what about me? What about me? Don't worry about her. It's my story.
Let's... Because I've been using so we had a chat and it was around the audience that you have built but might not necessarily have been the audience you wanted to build. Not that you don't seem like you're annoyed about building it, but tell us about from all of this stuff, what's happened.
Yeah, so prior to this, I work in commercial radio. So you make a couple of videos here and there to extend the radio show, if you will. And then I found... not a niche, but I personally like going and doing vox pops and talking to people on the streets. And then one time I decided to do it at 3 a.m. in the morning when everyone's blind out the front of nightclubs and ask their opinions on politics. And it went off and I was like, this is great. And I was like, oh, this is fun. And I was in Canberra, so a lot of people in Canberra are like, I know that guy, or they've got political opinions and stuff. And so the page is getting this little cult following in Canberra. And then suddenly you get 100,000 mums from middle America who are between the age of 45 and 60 invested in your story, and they're like, oh, this is so great, what's the next update? And you're like, oh, no updates yet, but
here's a dick joke.
Here's a guy pinging off his brain talking about politics, and they're like, oh, this is a bit rude, I don't like this. And then the people in Canberra are like, just tell us a dick joke. Yeah. Stop crying about your mum. And so so now it's a bit weird, like you were saying,
but
Tom,
your adopted mum's amazing, get more of her.
Yeah, get her on. Yeah, she's great. If only you could talk about the adoption at 3 a.m. with the piss people and just keep everyone happy at the same time. That would be fantastic. But it is weird when you get a big audience that you want to respect and who are interested in your story, but it might not be... well, for instance, if I say, hey, guys, on my radio show tomorrow, this is what we're talking about, 98% of people on my Facebook page, so 200,000 people go, oh, well, we're not in Perth, so we can't hear it, so we don't care. So that's tricky.
Do you regret going publicly with any of this stuff, or what's been the lessons?
Well, I wouldn't regret it because it was literally people in the comments saying you should do an ancestry DNA test. So there's so many of those tipping point moments where you go, if I didn't post this video, I wouldn't have met my birth father and my half brothers. And so any kind of things that I go, oh, geez, I wish I didn't share that. You go, well, if you didn't share any of it, you would never have met any of them. So,
do you think there's truth in you don't choose your audience chooses you? And I know it's like you're doing a building show. Obviously, you're choosing the type of content or a makeup show. Yep. But when you're just a personality or an entertainer or even a filmmaker, it's like we could make some sort of film about race and then you become the race guy.
Yeah.
Have you guys read a little Austin Kleon? You've had him on your podcast.
Austin Kleon I interviewed. Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that podcast that you did. Thank you. That guy.
He's fangirly. Yeah. He's fangirly on your Josh.
Perfect. Yeah, so, I did 10 episodes for that podcast. Josh speaking.
But one of his things was a lot of people spend a lot of time going, who am I? What sort of stuff do I do? Who's my audience? And then I think he wrote something with, he goes, if you just do the stuff that you're passionate about, who you are will reveal itself in time instead of trying to... And I think we've even had chats like that because Tommy, you were like, well, I used to be a PT, but I don't want to be that fitness guy anymore. Everyone's a travel blogger or a makeup person. Then a lot of people probably have that thought of, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And you just think, well, if you just do what comes naturally to you, then your people will find you.
Well, what I thought was interesting, I was looking at Christian Hull's video. I did a little video on Christian Hull a while ago, who's a what would you call a successful personality online, does videos, all that sort of thing. And I was looking at the comments, and one of the main comments, which was a really nice thing to say, but I think it sort of revealed what audiences are like, which was, don't ever change, Christian, don't ever change. And I thought that was interesting because as humans, we naturally like progress and change.
Yeah. Well, he's a great actor. And I think the risk of that is that, like, obviously it's an extended version of himself, but people go, oh, do I have to keep being the flamboyant actor guy for people to like me? And a lot of people have a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah. And so I think
a lot of good money out of it. But a lot of people go, oh, I make jokes about myself being fat. Does that mean I can't lose weight now? Because then people won't like me anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a minefield out there.
Yeah. And I think it's even Casey Neistat has talked about it too on his vlog and things like that.
The change and how people get
People are funny about change, and they're people you know, the day that someone subscribes to you, they've almost cemented what they expect.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. So it's hard for the Daily Talk Show. If we were all of a sudden saying we're a gardening show or something like that, might be a bit of a hard sell. But I think that this authentic content, which is, we're actually not niching, we're just talking about life, then people are probably more willing to go on that journey.
Yeah. Well, some of my bosses have said to me, and this was more radio, but it's like, if people who are subscribing to you are a similar age, they evolve as you do. Mm. And so I've turned 30 last year. And so am I still like taking pills and going to festivals like I'm 19? Not really.
Yeah.
But if people have followed me 5 years ago, we might have been partying together, and now I'm doing content about, oh shit, should I become a dad or should I not become a dad? Mm-hmm. And I keep trying to tell myself that the same people who were doing the late night stuff years ago, they've got older themselves, and they're now going, oh shit, I've actually got to start thinking about, am I having a kid? And you got to evolve. You know, I don't want to be that 48-year-old guy doing a night show talking about whoever the five sauce is of the day. Like, I think you got to grow up with the audience.
Yeah. And what was what has it been like going to Perth? How long have you been there for now?
It was the end of last year, so I'm still real new. So I've only won two surveys in.
Okay.
So
and a survey happens, for people who don't know radio, every
month and a half?
Yeah.
Well, I'm new to it as well. So I've never been surveyed or rated as much as we are, but. Yeah.
And so you're on billboards and stuff like that? Like, describe what is it like?
It's weird. Buses, bus stops, taxis. It was the same like that in Canberra. It was a little bit embarrassing because my friends aren't impressed by it. Like, with our group of friends, I don't think any of them listen to commercial radio. And so it's not like I go home and go, oh, I get to be on the radio every day. For me, it's like, if you make some good content you're proud of, then it's a tick. And if you make an awful show, then it's a cross. Yeah. There's no kind of, oh, well, at least I'm on a billboard, because that's actually more embarrassing than it is anything else.
So what do you think about then? Like, what's a day-to-day for you? Like, what's the thing that's on your mind the most?
Well, you guys being content guys understand that you're only ever 1 second away from a great idea. Mm-hmm. And so you're always a little bit, you see something and go, oh, is there a video on that? Or is that a story about that? Or is it? So you're always a little bit on.
Yeah.
But then I say to my mates who are tradies and digging and lifting heavy things, you're never actually physically working that hard either.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think of your audience? Like, how do you position when you're in sort of a mainstream market, you know, for a metro station, how do you position audience in your head?
See, I'm a bit like anti-commercial radio, as much as that sounds. I think the audience is a lot smarter than I think commercial radio stations give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to dumb things down. It doesn't have to be a boom tish or an obvious joke. People want to hear an interesting story. Mm. And what I didn't understand about my adoption story is one of the bosses was like, well, everyone's got a mum. It really relates to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have a twist or an angle. You just tell your story and people will think it's fascinating. And so for me, I'm like, if you're trying to make it interesting and give them credit and respect their intelligence, then you won't be the zinger, zinger, commercial radio.
Do love a zinger, zinger though.
Yeah.
You'd be the zinger, zinger guy, Josh.
Mate, that would be my shtick. It's a daily talk show, everyone. We better let you go so you can get the car back to your mum so she can get the flowers before the shop closes.
Yeah, I do appreciate that on behalf of mum.
How good's the podcast though? Because you just were coming in for a catch up anyway.
Well, I haven't been to the new since you've decorated this place, and I was driving past and I thought I'll just come and say g'day, and here we are, episode number
65.
Bang.
On a Monday. Thanks for listening to The Daily Talk Show, everyone. Thank you, Ryan John, for joining us.
No worries.
You can send us an email, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, or
we're just getting, this is just, you know, sorting the stuff out at stuff. The end, you know, how to do that stuff,
and,
right?
Yep. P.O. Box 400, Abbotsford, Victoria 3067. We have our own P.O. box.
Do you have to do credit lines? I'm getting in a lot of trouble at work for not doing credit lines at the moment.
Do a bonus now. What's a credit line that you have at the moment?
Oh, here's one that I missed the other day that we're in a lot of trouble for.
Well, perfect.
Go and watch The Real Housewives of New York, now available on Hayu and Foxtel.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Are you surprised I didn't say it on my show?
Bye, everyone.